Take your Bible this morning and let's turn to the book of 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter number 2. And the Lord was good to us. He put all the T books in the New Testament all together towards the back of your book. So if you find one T, just alphabetize it and you'll be right there where we need to be. 2 Timothy chapter 2, we'll look at verses 1 through verse number 4 in just a few moments. So far in our series that we've entitled, as we started out this year, Be the Church, we have considered three different metaphors of a Christian's life. We now understand that we are to be salt and light, as our banners are right behind us. Then we saw that we are to be a farmer, cultivating God's Word and the lives and hearts of other people. Then last week we saw that we are to be a student of God's Word. And today we're going to continue, and I hope that as we leave here today, we'll come to understand that we are also to be a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you found your place, let's stand as we give reverence to the reading of God's Word in 2 Timothy chapter 2. We'll read verses 1 down through verse number 4. Paul, writing to Timothy, says this, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Let's pray. Father, as we bow before you this morning, Father, we're so thankful that we can come together this morning, Father, and worship you. We're thankful, Father, for the tithes and offerings that we could bring and give back to you. We're thankful, Father, for the special music and the wonderful hymns that we have just sung. But God, now we come to the preaching of God's Word. Father, the pinnacle of why we came here today. So, Father, I pray that you would bless the preaching of your Word. Oh, Father, would you fill this preacher with the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Help me, Father, to rely on you and not on myself. And God, I pray for the hearing of God's Word. Father, that it would find a resting place deep inside our heart and our souls, Father. I pray as we find it in our heart and soul that your people would meditate upon it and think about it, Father, and apply these truths of this fourth metaphor of a soldier as it applies to a Christian's life. Father, we pray for someone that could be here this morning who doesn't know Christ as their Savior. And God, I pray to help them to understand that they need to join up with God's army, trust in Christ as their personal Savior, and become a soldier of the cross. So, Father, we pray and ask these things in your Son's most wonderful and precious and powerful name, I pray. Amen and amen. We may be seated. A good soldier follows the commands of his leader to win a military victory. He's faithful to the very end, either in victory or in defeat. It makes no difference to a good soldier. He does his duty regardless of circumstances and in spite of all the difficulties that might hinder him from accomplishing the task that his commander has asked him to do. You see, the Bible describes the Christian's life as a battle. Unfortunately, most Christians don't realize that they're living in a war zone each and every day of their lives. Because they can't see the battle around them, they doubt the reality of them being in a battle. I want you to understand that Paul teaches us about this battle, this spiritual battle in Ephesians 6 and verse 12. The Bible said, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." You see, wrestling involves an intense struggle for supremacy. You see, when I was going through junior high and high school, boy, we had gym class, and we still have gym class, I guess, today. And one of the things that the men had to do, or the boys had to do, was wrestling. And the wintertime came, I dreaded wrestling. I hated wrestling. You see, I wasn't very strong. And boy, it seemed like the person I get paired up with, because I was heavy, they do it by weight. Jock, who's built like this, you know, got muscles out to here, and the gym coach would blow the whistle, and next thing I know, I'm laying flat on my back in an arm bar. I'm screaming, tapping, saying, "I give up, you know. But wrestling involves an intense struggle for supremacy. Unless you're the pastor, I just want to give up and get away with it just as soon as I can. But wrestling was extremely important in Greco-Roman world. And during the time of the Apostle Paul, the outcome of wrestling matches could involve very serious consequences. The winner would receive a prize, and normally it would be some kind of laurel wreath that they would place upon his head. But then the losers could even have their eyes gouged out, and even worse, the losers of these wrestling matches could even be put to death. And with so much at stake, it only makes sense for every contestant to prepare himself in every way possible to give the struggle his absolute best effort. Now, believe me, if the gym coach would have said, if you lose, you might die, I'm going to gouge your eyes out, I would have put a little bit more effort into it. You see, there's so much at stake in our Christian's life. And guess what? There is more at stake in the unseen spiritual warfare around us than any wrestler that has ever faced in this world and in yesteryear. In 2 Timothy 2 and Ephesians 6, both caution the Christians that we need to prepare ourselves with the armor of God and to give his all in the spiritual battles that we face on a daily basis. Paul tells Timothy in chapter 6 and verse number 12 to fight the good fight of faith. Why do you think Paul would tell Timothy to fight a good fight of faith if there was not a fight that he needed to have faith to have outcome on it? Our text describes this morning some qualities of a successful soldier. And our lives must have these qualities if we are going to be a good soldier for Jesus Christ. I think the first quality of a good soldier is that they are a strong soldier. Look at verse number 1 of our text. Just like a soldier must be strong and must be fit for battle, guess what? As a Christian, you and I are no different. Verse 1 says this of our text in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Think about this for just a moment. No one ever sets a goal to be weak. Not one time did I ever wake up and say, I think I'm going to be the class weakling today. Not one time did it ever cross my mind. As a matter of fact, just the opposite. Now, it may have come out that I was the class weakling, but the truth of the matter is I never set my sight. I never set my goal to be weak. Most of them, don't we? And we want to be healthy. As a matter of fact, just look around at how many fitness and health clubs that are available to you and I to help to make us strong and healthy. Every strip mall that you go to has at least one, sometimes two, different health clubs. Not to mention all the vitamins and supplements that we have to help us to be strong and healthy. Do you realize that in the year of 2015, Americans spent, get this number now, $21 billion on vitamins and herbal supplements? I think that every one of us can agree that diet and exercise are really the key to our health and the key to our strength. You know, when people first go into the military, people are required to take several weeks, sometimes even months, of basic training, or we could call it boot camp. You say, why do they call it boot camp? Because they put you in boots, and if you don't behave, the TI will give you a boot, amen, to get you to where you need to be. But the goal of boot camp is really to make the recruit physically fit, physically strong, and disciplined, enable that recruit to endure the discipline and necessary to be a soldier. Do you realize that everything left to itself is eventually going to decay? It's eventually going to fall apart. A garden is going to fill up with weeds if you don't weed it. A house is going to fall apart if you don't avail yourself of maintenance that comes periodically to your house. Guess what? Your car is going to stop, and you'll be visiting Gary if you don't have regular maintenance on your car. So unless we put the effort into keeping ourselves strong and healthy and physically conditioned, guess what? We're going to deteriorate as well. And it's just the same if we neglect our spiritual condition as our physical condition. I think our text in here gives soldiers two things that we need to do to maintain our strength for that spiritual warfare that God has called us to. I think the first one is this, and I know this is the first of two dirty words. It is diet. It is diet. You know, the word of God is often compared to food. In Job 23 and verse 12, the Bible says, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than necessary food. The psalmist writes in Psalm 119 in verse 103, how sweet are the words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than the honey to my mouth. Jeremiah 15 and verse 16 says this, the words were found and I did eat them, and thy words were unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. Peter says this, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the words. And Pastor Carroll says, by his words of wisdom, eat plenty of nachos to be good fit. Amen. Listen, the Bible is all kinds of words that relate to food for you and I. You know, a real serious athlete understands the importance of eating the right food. They count their calories. They measure their total protein intake. They also monitor their diet for proper nutrients, take supplements and vitamins to ensure that all their bones and their muscles can be strengthened and sustained for the contest that they're about ready to get into. And just as a proper diet is essential for an athlete, guess what? It's proper and essential for you and I as well. We must be in good shape to carry out the orders of our superiors. The Christian soldier must be spiritually fit to serve his master, Jesus Christ. So we need to have a proper diet. You say, well, what is the proper diet? Well, the proper diet is none other than the Word of God. You see, the Word is quick. The world is quick to offer us a selection of junk food. Boy, just this past weekend, I had some good junk food. I had a Whopper Jr. with cheese and French fries and a Diet Coke. That was wonderful. It just hit the spot. But understand this, the world is quick to offer us a full selection of any type of junk food that you desire. The food might be quick as you go through a drive-thru. The food might be tasty as we enjoy greasy hamburgers. It might look good, but guess what? It has very little nutritional value. Sometimes, and probably most of the time, it could even be harmful to our bodies. If it's true in the physical realm, guess what? It's got to be true in the spiritual realm as well. So we need to watch our diet physically. We need to watch our diet spiritually. We need to watch our diet emotionally and watch our diet mentally as well. We need to spend time every day feeding on God's Word. I often repeat this time and time again, that this is the foundation of our Christian living, is the time that we spend in God's Word, praying and meditating on His Word. We need to spend time every day. So just don't read the Bible to check off something on your to-do list. Now, we gave out Bible reading calendars, and I like to ask today, but I'm not going to. How are you doing on that? Do you have a check beside every one of those little boxes inside that little booklet we gave you? Or maybe you don't use that, but you have an application on your computer, on your cell phone that you can check off. How you doing? How many checks do you have? I don't even know what the date is today. What is the date? The 27th. Do you have 27 check marks beside your Bible reading plan? I hope that you do. At least 26. Maybe you do yours a little bit later today. But the idea that I'm trying to tell you is just don't read it and check it off just to say you've already done that. And by the way, let me help you. You say, well, Pastor, if I only have 10, I only have 15, and I'm about an every other day kind of person. Listen, it doesn't matter where you are. And if you missed the last 15 days, just start with today. Don't try to go back and read 15 days worth of Bible. Maybe you can go back and catch up here and there, but just start today. And if you miss tomorrow, just start the next day. Start somewhere. Don't use that as an excuse. Take the time to meditate about what you read. Let God work in your heart. Let Him work in your mind. Let Him work in your life. Don't settle for what I call Twinkie devotions, where you read a verse or two, offer up a short prayer to God. That's not going to help you grow in the Lord. That's not going to make you a strong soldier for Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, we ought to think more in the line of a cow who chews her cud. She doesn't get in a hurry, and she wants to get all she can out of every mouthful of food that she takes in there. And we need to do the very same thing with the Word of God. We don't need to be in a hurry for it. My goodness, we get in a hurry for God's Word, but spend 4 hours watching television or playing on the internet. We're not to be concerned about that, but be concerned about God's Word. Well, the first kind of ugly word that we need to look about and talk about and think about if we're going to be a good soldier for Christ is diet. But listen, if we're going to be productive soldiers, it takes more than diet. And that is this idea of exercise, exercise. You know, now this is an area where I can really know a lot about. I can speak from a lot of example from this area of exercise. You can tell that by my perfectly shaped body and my perfectly shaped size. And listen, for all you naysayers out there, if you don't believe me, just ask my wife, Diana. She tells me all the time I'm perfect. Isn't that right, honey? I'm perfect all the time. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. But usually, guess what? That word diet and that word exercise are combined together. It's one thing to go on a diet, and we can sometimes get this, stomach that. But in other times, we have exercise. And we need to understand that if we eat and don't exercise, we're going to expand to some unhealthy size. And if we exercise but we don't eat properly, guess what? That's not good either, and you're not going to be around for very longer. Regular exercise must accompany proper diet. Well, how can we as soldiers of Jesus Christ exercise in a spiritual sense? Well, I think first of all, we can exercise our faith. See, I think of a man by the name of Abraham. He was a man who exercised his faith. You see, faith is very important because the Christian life ought to be lived by faith. If we're saved by faith, our life ought to continue by living by faith. And speaking of Abraham, Paul says this in Romans 4 and verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Paul continues in Romans 14 and says this, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Let me remind you that faith is very important because a Christian life ought to be lived by faith. Someone said that faith is like a muscle. It doesn't grow naturally and has to be exercised for it to grow. And the more we exercise living in faith, the more of a habit it will be in our life. Exercising your faith, choosing to trust God. Do it even during the times of difficult circumstances of your life and trials that God allows to come into your life. Exercise your faith by reading and believing the promises of God as contained in the Word of God. Exercise your faith by obeying the commands of God, trusting that He will bless your obedience. Second of all, we need to exercise ourselves in the right living. You know, if we'll do that, we'll have a clear conscience, just like the Apostle Paul did. When Paul was speaking to Felix, he said this in Acts chapter 24 and verse 16, and herein do I exercise myself, to have always a conscience void of offense towards God and towards man. You see, Paul practiced right living so that he would not have to have any regrets towards God or towards his fellow man. Thirdly, we need to exercise ourselves in godliness. Paul says in 1 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Here's my second favorite verse in all the Bible, in verse number 8 of 1 Timothy 4, verse 8. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of life that now is and of that which is to come. You see, for me and you to exercise unto godliness, it's going to take some work. It's going to take some work. When we evaluate our spiritual diet, when we evaluate our spiritual exercise, remember, even if it looks good, there's always room for improvement. Not one time have I ever heard a bodybuilder that really built his body out in his competition level. Not one time have they ever looked in the mirror and flexed their muscle and oiled themselves down and said, well, I think I made it. I think I've arrived. I'm going to stop. Not one time ever have they said that. They could have the perfect cut and the perfect eight-pack. I don't know whatever they have. But you know what? When they look at themselves, they're going to say, you know what? I can tweak this little quadrant right here just a little bit more. And that's what we need to have in our life. Keep in mind that God doesn't expect the same from baby Christians as He does from mature Christians. In Hebrews 5 and verse 14, He says this, But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, and those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You see, I don't believe any one of us want to live our entire Christian life as a baby. I know I didn't, and I still don't. I want to continually learn and mature in the things of Jesus Christ. And to do that, we're going to have a spiritual diet. We're going to have regular exercise if we are going to grow. In fact, Peter writes this in 2 Peter 3 and verse 18, "But grow in grace, and get this now, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to him be glory both now and forever. Amen." You see, a soldier must be strong. So I'm asking you this morning to choose the diet and an exercise that's going to make you strong in the Lord as part of your daily devotions. Well, not only is a soldier to be strong, but then notice, secondly, a soldier is to be a single-minded soldier, a single-minded soldier. 2 Timothy 2:3, the Bible says, "That thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for the mastery, he is yet not crowned, except he strive lawfully." Here in this passage, we have three characteristics of a single-minded soldier. Notice, first of all, the Bible says he endures hardship. Hardships are part of a soldier's job description. Notice again, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." I think the songwriter expressed it so well when she wrote these words, "Shall I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fight to win the prize and sail through bloody seas?" Understand this morning that we are in a battle, and it's not easy. And in this battle, the Apostle Paul encourages you and I to press toward the mark in Philippians 3 and verse 14. Success will come, but it's going to take effort. It's going to take determination. And lastly, it's going to take endurance. There's an intense event called the Crucible, and it marks the end of the basic training for the Marine Corps. And the Military News website describes the Crucible like this: "The Crucible makes a final test of everything Marine recruits have learned. Here, they will experience sleep deprivation, food rationing, and a series of intense mental and physical tests that will put an exclamation point on the time in recruit training. By the time the recruit takes the Crucible, they normally have about 11 weeks of solid training behind them, and it will be all that they need. Tired and hungry, they work together to overcome extreme challenges or experiences the bitterness or failure as a platoon." A mother of one of the Marines gave a few details that goes like this. She said, 54 grueling hours, 40-mile hikes, stopping at different locations, learning survival and teamwork, 4 hours of total sleep of those 54, 3 meals in total. "It will be one of the hardest things that my son will ever have to do." Think of the level of endurance that is required of a Marine recruit before they can wear that proud name of the United States Marine. Think about us as Christian soldiers. God wants you and I to demonstrate our single-mindedness by enduring hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. All of us enjoy the sweet promises that God has for us in the Bible. The promise of His presence. The promise of His protection upon our life. The promises of His provision, meeting every one of our needs. And how about this? Even the promises, the prompting of the Holy Spirit of God to guide us and help us in our time of need. But God also promises something else. And God promises us that there will be a need for endurance. In 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12, we find these words: "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus," get this next word, "shall suffer persecution." In Matthew 5, verses 10 through 12, Jesus says, "Blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Peter again writes in 1 Peter 4 and verses 12, he says these words, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened unto you. But get verse 13, he backs up what Paul says. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceedingly joy. So here's the truth, church. God promises us hardships and afflictions as well as peace and joy in our life. You say, well, how can we know the peace of God if there's no trouble in our life? I ask the question again, how can we have joy in Christ if we never experience sorrow in our life? Jesus puts it this way in the 16th chapter of John in the 33rd verse, These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. We can remain single-minded by determining to have enduring hardship in our life. Remember, we have the promises of God that we'll be victorious if we are faithful. Paul writes to the church at Corinth and says this in 15th chapter, Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor, get these last words, are not in vain in the Lord. If we're going to be a single-minded soldier, we're going to have to endure hardships, but then we'll also need to remain free from the entanglements of this world. Free from the entanglements of this world. You see, a single-minded soldier refuses to be distracted by anything that competes with his duties as carrying out the jobs that his commander has asked him. Look at verse 4 of our text. The Bible says, No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be the soldier. Let me illustrate it to you this way. The Tomb of the Unknown Soldier is located in Arlington National Cemetery in Washington, D.C. It's a monument for those soldiers who have given their lives in service for our nation, whose bodies have never been identified. And this tomb is guarded 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The person that guards that is called a sentinel. And a sentinel is a person whose duty performs his duty responsibly with great ceremony and uttermost perfection. He takes 21 steps, alluding to the 21-gun salute, and that is the highest honor given any military dignity. He takes those steps, 21 steps across the tomb. He turns and faces the tomb for 21 seconds. Turns again and changes his weapon to the outside shoulder, counts another 21 seconds, and makes a 21-step return walk to where he came from. You see, this sentinel, this guard, does not allow any distraction in his mission. It doesn't matter what the weather is. As a matter of fact, there has been times that the commanding general of the Washington, D.C. district has afforded the opportunity of these great sentinels, these great guardians of the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier in times of hurricane and severe weather, that they might stand down their watch. But not one time since this happened have they ever stood down. They are afforded that opportunity, but they were willing to endure the hardship of hurricane, high winds, and water, and freezing weather because they love the job that they're doing out of the respect for the people. Friends in the crowd watching the ceremony doesn't matter to the sentinel. He will not avert his eyes. He'll not give hi-fi to mom in the crowd. He won't do anything like that. Even if the soldier's nose itches, he'll wait until he's formally relieved. And they have the changing of the guard, I believe, is about every hour or so. And what happens is the new guard will march on, he'll march out. He won't even scratch his nose until he's away out of sight of the tomb of the unknown soldier, not to bring discredit upon that body. No distractions, no entanglements, no personal concerns are going to keep this soldier from performing their duty. You know, the world that we live in has lots of opportunities for distraction and entanglement. Sometimes we become so overly concerned with our houses or our cars or perhaps our financial situation. Maybe it's our hobbies. Maybe it's even our problems that we have in our life. But I'm reminded of this, that the Lord teaches in Matthew 6 and verse 24 that no man can serve two masters. If you're trying to serve the Lord and ourselves, we're going to become unstable soldiers. And that's what James meant in chapter 1 and verse 8 when he said, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We need to free ourselves from these distractions by keeping our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, a single-minded soldier will have to endure hardships, will have to remain free from entanglements, and notice, lastly, will have to obey his commanding officer. Obey his commanding officer. You see, a submitted soldier is going to be an effective soldier. I like what it says in Matthew 8 and verses 8 to 9. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. And the centurion said, for I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth. And to another I say, come, and he cometh. And to thy servant I say, do this, and he do it. You see, just as that Roman soldier under the centurions were required to obey, understand this, as a soldier of Jesus Christ, you and I must be willing to obey, and we must obey. This Bible is our manual for Christian soldiers. Our spiritual warfare is fought according to the guidelines that we find in this Bible. You know what happens sometimes during battle situations? There's a confusion about who gets in charge. I love watching movies about Normandy and D-Day and World War II movies. I love watching those types of movies. I really do enjoy that. And oftentimes in those movies, what happens is because of the type of warfare we fought and the way our battle plans were drawn up, that oftentimes it was confusing that when they drop out of an airplane, the lieutenant might be 2 miles away from where the rest of his team was. And sometimes there's great confusion on who's in charge of those Christian soldiers. But understand this, military progress really can't be made until that matter is settled. Someone has to stand up and say, I don't know where the lieutenant is, but I'm the next ranking man and I'm going to lead this platoon to victory. And you know, as Christians, you and I must be fully aware who our commanding officer is. And as long as we're trying to fight our way, we'll never be successful as a soldier for the cause of Jesus Christ. I think Joshua learned an important lesson as he recognized God as the supreme commander just before the Battle of Jericho. Let me take you back there for just a moment. As Joshua stood outside of the city, no doubt he was making battle plans. He was formulating a plan inside of his mind, what he was going to do, how he was going to take the city. He met a man, the Bible said, that had a sword that was drawn. And Joshua asked him in Joshua 5 in verse 13, are you for us or for our adversaries? And the answer came quick and true. And that man said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord, I am now come. You see, the commanding officer, the captain of the host, gave Joshua his battle plans. I believe later in life as well, Joshua reminds the nation of Israel that they must single-mindedly serve the Lord. He challenged them in Joshua 24 and verse 15, choose you this day whom you will serve. And then he announced his own choice and he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You see, success in warfare demands you and I being single-minded soldiers. What a privilege it is for those who are born again, who have trusted Christ as their personal Savior, to serve in the Lord's army under the greatest captain with an assured victory. We should be motivated to the highest standards of excellence. We should be motivated to the highest standard of living. We should be motivated to the highest standard of what God expects out of us. because what he has done for us. We must be strong, setting the proper spiritual diet and the proper spiritual exercise. We must be single-minded, enduring the hardness and enduring distractions. I believe if you'll follow these principles here in 2 Timothy chapter number 2, we will be the church in 2019 as good soldiers for the cause of Jesus Christ. Let's pray.